So continuing the Guru Gita, so after the last shloka that we learned was Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwaraha, Guru Sakshat Param Brahma, Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So the next shloka is Stavaram Jangamam Vyaptam Yakin Chit Sacharacharam Tatpadam Darshitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So stavaram jangamam vyaptam yat kinchit sacharacharam. So stavaram jangamam, so stavaram means like things which are immoving, non-moving. Jangamam means things which are moving. So stavaram jangamam yad vyaptam, stavaram jangamam vyaptam yat vyaptam stavaram jangamam. So that which pervades moving and immoving things. Yat kinchit sacharacharam, that whatever is there moving and immoving, as well we can say whatever is there which is living and non-living, all those is pervaded by whom and through whom? Tatpadam darshitam yena. Tatpadam, the meaning of the padam, the meaning of the word or the phrase tat from the Mahavyakyam Tattvamasi is known from whom? Who shows us the meaning of Tatpadam? Who stands for Tatpadam? Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my prostrations to the Guru. So as we discussed, we have, it's almost a similar shloka that we discussed previously as well. But what Guru Gita is emphasizing here is that entity which is like all pervasive, which is present everywhere. Aham Atma Gudakesha Sarva Bhutashaya Stitaha Aham Adishcha Madhyam Cha Bhutanam Anteva Cha. This is Krishna's statement in the 11th chapter, where he says that Aham Atma, I am the Atma Gudakesha Sarva Bhutashaya Stitaha. I am the Guda Atma, I am the inner self, indwelling self, Sarva Bhutashaya Stitaha, which is present in all beings. Aham adishtya madhyam cha, I am the starting, madhyam, bhutanam antayevacha, as well as the end of all beings. That means I pervade everything. So we also discussed about pervasion, that it is with respect to cause, effect, as well as the substratum. So the Brahma Sutra, the very second Brahma Sutra, while speaking about Brahman, or the nature of Brahman, while defining Brahman, says that, defines it as Janmadi Asya Yataha. Janmadi Asya Yataha. So Brahman is that from which Janma or birth, protection, limit, creation, protection and destruction happens. So that is what is called, what is termed as Brahman. Brahman is that entity from which the world comes, in which the world lies, and in onto which like the world merges after or at the time of destruction. That is called as Brahma. Yena sarvani bhutani jayante, yena jatani jivanti, yat prayanti abhisambhishanti, tad vidijnyasasva, tad brahmeti. This is a statement of Taittiriya Upanishad, which is summarized in the Brahma Sutra of Janmadhyasya, the second Brahma Sutra. Yena sarvani bhutani jayante, from whom all beings are born. Yena jatani jivanti, in whom, like all the beings which are born, lie or live. That means the protection or in the substratum, in which substratum or who is the force behind the living entities which are born. Yat prayanti abhisamvishanti. Yat prayanti, at the time of death, into whom these beings go, abhisamvishanti, go and merge. Tad vijijnyasasva, that entity has to be known. And tat brahmeti, so that, know that to be Brahman. So Brahman is that. What is the advantage of knowing that entity which is the cause from which things come, which is the substratum in which things reside, and which is like the cause onto which everything merges at the time of destruction. This means like everything that we see, everything that we experience is born, is something newly created. Wherever there is birth, there will be death. So birth and death, when something is born and something dies, that means it's temporary. And things which are temporary are termed as anithyam. So anithyam, whatever is anithyam, that cannot give us bliss because it is limited in time. It's not only limited in time, but it is also limited in space as well as causation. So Vedanta accepts like three like main entities or like limitations of all entities that we experience. So those are like Desha, Kala, and then like Vastu. It's called Vastu, but it is time, space, and causation. So any entity that we experience is subject or is limited by time, space, and causation. So that which is limited by time, space, and causation is not perfect, is not complete, is not infinite. Therefore, the bliss or happiness achieved from them is also limited. But like the Chandogya Upanishad speaks about Chandogya Upanishad speaks about the reality of Brahman as some, it terms Brahman as Bhuma. The meaning of Bhuma is something which is Purnam, which is full. That is why it is said Purnamadaha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. So if you go through like I think Ishavasi Bhashyam, the document in the site in vedantatattva.org, if you have gone through, or you can once again go through and understand the meaning of this like Shanti Mantra. But Purnam, like Brahman is Purnam. Yo vai Bhuma Tatsukam. So that which is Purnam, that which is full, is blissful. Na alpe sukham asti. There is no sukham in alpam. That which is limited by the three main conditions or adjuncts of time, space, and causation. Causation just means that time means like it is limited or it is present only in either past or present or future. Limited in space means it is present only in a particular area. It is limited by space, that means it is not all pervasive. And then causation means that it is subject to cause effect. That means like it is something which is newly created. It is an like it is subject to the causation process or from the cause effect coming and then effect merging into the cause. So any entity that is subject to causation is an effect that comes out of a cause. Again, like if we consider this causation theory, the cause and effect are closely related. The cause of mud from which the effect of pot comes is the effect is nothing but a name and form of the cause of mud. But though Brahman is considered to be that from which the world has come, that means Brahman is the cause whereas the world is an effect. Effect is always an illusion. So causation subject to causation or limited by causation means that which is newly born or that which is an effect. But even the concept of cause effect, considering Brahman as a cause, is also faulty at the ultimate viewpoint because there are few theories, only few ways in which the cause can be converted into the effect. The cause becomes the effect. As I said, the mud becomes the pot. So such process of like the cause becoming effect is not possible with Brahman. So if you like, if I don't know whether you have gone through the Satya Darshanam in the site, even if you have gone through, just go through it once again, you will understand this causation process clearly. That like those scriptures speak about Brahman as the cause from which everything has come. It is a Tat Padam, but still it is really ultimately impossible to have the world created or the have the effect of world from the cause of Brahman. So you got the causation theory, right? So what I was telling was that like causation, the causation theory is really impossible in Brahman. Though like we say that causation, that which is subject to causation is an effect and the effect requires a cause. But Brahman is also mentioned as the cause or the entity denoted by Tat, the Tat Padam, Tat word or phrase of Tattvamasi Mahavakyam. But still, it is logically, ultimately impossible for the world to be created from the cause of Brahman. Brahman can never be the cause. The arguments like you can find in Satyadarshanam work in the site. If you, I don't know whether you have read it, but if you haven't, just go through it again. You'll understand this process of causation, how it happens, what is causation, and why ultimately there cannot be any causation from Brahman. The world as an effect can never really come from the cause of Brahman. So this is what is like summarized in the Mandukya Upanishad, where in the Prakaranam, in the first Prakaranam, Agami Prakaranam, where like the seer or the rishi says that prapancho yadi vidyeta nivarteta na samshayaha maya matram idam dvaitam advaitam paramarthatah. Prapancho yadi vidyeta, if you think, or if the world really exists, if you feel the world as existing means it's real, then know for sure that it will vanish. Yeah, so prapancho yadi vidyeta, Mandukya Upanishad says, prapancho yadi vidyeta, if the world exists, nivarteta, it will surely vanish. Na samshaya, there is no doubt about it. Why it will vanish? Because it is an illusion. Any illusion has to vanish. So if you think the world exists, the world never really exists, but if you think the world exists, then know for sure that it will vanish. It will vanish if you follow the right path of Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam. It will make way for you to realize Brahman. Why? Maya matram idam dvaitam. The dvaitam that we see is maya matram. It is only an illusion. Advaitam paramartatah. Advaitam alone is real. And going on the same line, that is when Gaudapada in the second prakaranam of at the end of the second prakaranam of Mandukya Upanishad Karika, he says that nakaschit jayate jivah sambhavo asyana vidyate. There is no jiva born. Nakaschit jayate jivah. There is no like jiva that is born. There is no sambhavo asyana vidyate. There is no jiva born, and there is no way, no possibility of jiva being born, because there is no jiva apart from Brahman. Ultimately, there is only Brahman, but it's only like this causation theory is only for a person who is in Ajnanam and who wants to cross over Ajnanam. So Ajnanam, it is like, if you have read Moksha Siddhi, you will understand this, that Bandha Mukti, Bandham and Mukti both are from the perspective of ignorance. Only he who is bonded will seek liberation. So liberation means it assumes that bondage is there. So this dual notion of bondage and liberation is not valid after realization. Because the reality is that there is no bondage or liberation. There is only one self. There is only one Brahman, that Padam. That is, that one Brahman is indicated by Tat Padam. That Brahman, indicated by the Tat Padam, is that which is beyond causation. That which is the substratum of whatever is seen. And that which only exists. So that is what is denoted by the Tat Padam. Whereas the Tvam Padam indicates the Jiva, who is initially limited and then who finds himself as the Sakshi Kutastha and then finally merges with Brahman. Finally identifies himself as Brahman. So that Padam is indicated by, made known to us by the Guru. Such a Guru, we offer our prostration. So Vyapti, whatever Vyapti we discussed earlier, that which is limited in time, space and causation cannot give us bliss. Whereas Brahman is mentioned to be Purnam. Purnam means it's infinite, perfect in all aspects. That means it is not limited by time, space, causation. So since it is not limited by time, space, causation, that means it pervades time, space and causation. Because time, space and causation itself is caused in Brahman, is experienced in Brahman. That means that which is the substratum of time should be present in past, present as well as future. That which is present, that which pervades space, means that it is like beyond space as well as it is present in each and every place of space. Similar is the case with causation. So Vyapti means that which is perfect in all aspects, that which is not limited by time-space causation, but still it pervades it. So that is the same thing like that we discussed, like Narayana Suktam, the famous statement that Yatcha kinchit jagat sarvam drishyate sruyate piva antar bahishcha tat sarvam vyapyan narayana sthitah. Annotation I used was Gita annotation, but it means like everything, yatcha kinchit jagat sarvam, whatever is there in the world, drishyate sruyate piva, through hearing or seeing all means, antar bahishcha tat sarvam, like inside and outside is pervaded by Narayana or the ultimate reality of Brahman. So that is what is mentioned here as sthavaram jangamam vyaptam yat kinchit sacharacharam tat padam darshitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I offer my prostrations to the guru who pervades like the moving and immoving as well as living and non-living entities, and not only he is at that level as well as he makes us realize Brahman, which is indicated by the word tat, as well as which that Brahman which is vyapti. So we can take it in different ways, that tatpadam which is present, which is vyaptam everywhere, that tatpadam is made known to us by the guru. Yeah, going on to the next shloka is It's on similar lines. So like many shlokas have same meaning, like Vedanta believes in the Shad Lingam, one of which is repetition or abhyasam. So as is the case with any knowledge, like if a person understands better if it is repeated again and again. That's the reason why in the 6th chapter of Chandogya Upanishad, the guru, the father Uddhalaka, while teaching his son who is a disciple, Shvetaketu, he mentions the word Tattvamasi, explains the word Tattvamasi 9 times using different logic. Different analogies. So repetition is something which will make us more focused, which will make us understand things clear. As well as repetition is also a means of emphasizing the import of a work. A person might speak for 10 hours, but we cannot remember what each word or each point that is making in the 10 hours. But still, if he is emphasizing, if he wants to emphasize something, he will mention it again and again. So that which is mentioned and again will go into our mind just because he is emphasizing it, and just because that whatever is being emphasized, that is the main import of the word. So the vyapti emphasis is just to show us that the sadhana that we have to do in order to realize Brahman is seeing Brahman everywhere, seeing everything as being pervaded in and out by Brahman. So the next shloka is also on similar line. Chinmayam vyapiyat sarvam trailokyam sacharacharam tatpadam darshitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Chinmayam vyapiyat sarvam trailokyam sacharacharam tat padam darshitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. That Brahman which is chinmayam vyapi yat sarvam, yat vyapita sarvam, that which pervades everything, trilokyam sacharacharam, the characharam things in the three worlds, whatever is bhuvaloka, suvaloka, or all the lokas that we know of, they are pervaded, and entities moving as well as immovable entities in all the worlds are being pervaded by that Brahman which is Chinmayam, which is filled with Chit, or which is of the nature of Chit. So Chit, it means like consciousness is what is meant. The word that Upanishad, Aitareya Upanishad speaks about Chit is Prajnanam. So Prajnanam means Prakarshena Jnanam. That means consciousness. That is Prajnanam is said to be Brahma. Prajnanam Brahma is the Mahavakyam in the Rigvedam that comes in Aitareya Upanishad. So that Prajnanam is being indicated by the word Chit. So Chit is the consciousness that is, or the Bodham that is present in everyone. And it is Chit which alone can experience existence of entities. So Chit by itself knows that it exists, Because chit is something which pulsates in each one of us that I exist. So chit is by nature sat, as well as chit illumines other things as well. Brahman is chit. That chit which is present in each one of us, that chit is Brahman. So it is chinmayam. Mayam means like kind of filled with or like dense mass or whatever we can say. So it means like its nature itself is chit. So jad, that chit, that which is chinmayam and that which is pervading everything in the three worlds, all that is moving as well as immoving, means living as well as non-living, and that Brahman who is indicated by the Tatpadam, that is being shown to us by the Guru. Such a Guru, to such a Guru I offer my prostrations. So the next shloka is Sarvasruti Shirodatna Virajita Padambujaha वेदांताम्बुजः सूर्योय तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः. सो सर्वश्रुति शिरोरत्न, सर्वश्रुति शिरोरत्न. सो सर्वश्रुति, द श्रुति. सो सर्वश्रुति शिरोरत्न, दैट शिरोरत्नम, दैट क्राउन which is filled with the ratnam, or which is indicated by all shruti. So the sarva shruti shiro ratna, so the crown with jewels of shruti. So the crown, that is nothing but the various, having various jewels of shruti or the various upanishad, virajita padambujaha, falls down or is at the feet of that person. That is the Guru. So the Guru is a person in whose feet is like Shruti lies, and in whose feet. That means Shruti surrenders to such a person. Why Shruti surrenders? What is the meaning of saying Shruti surrenders? Because Shruti is something which is book, which has just statements passed down. But Shruti surrenders here means that like the Guru is a person who is living by the Shruti. So the Shruti is made alive by the Guru. So if we prostrate our parents because we have been given life by them, similarly the Shruti is given life. Shruti is given life in the form of longevity as well as people experiencing it and following it, keeping up the tradition. That is done by the Guru. Therefore Shruti is at the feet of the Guru. And also it also means that Guru's words are infallible. There will be no logical errors in the Guru's words, because even Shruti falls at the Guru's feet. That means Shruti is a servant to the Guru. So whenever he wants to speak anything, Shruti is always ready to come upon his lips and come out in the form of words. So Sarva Shruti Vishiro Ratna Virajita Padambujaha Vedantam Bhujas Suryo Yaha. So like the Guru is a person who is like the sun of Vedanta. Vedanta Ambuja Suryo Yaha is the sun of Vedanta. So he is the sun of Vedanta. He is the sun denoting knowledge, the Vedanta, that knowledge that is embedded in the Vedanta. And as well as he is the person at whose feet Shruti falls down. This is the same that we learned in the Gurupadaka Stotra as well as that. Like Nripali Mauli Vrajaratna Kanti Saridvirajit Jashakanyaka Abhyam Nripadvada Abhyam Nataloka Pantehe Tas Nripadvada Abhyam Nataloka Pantehe. That's the same meaning that is mentioned here. So that's the emphasis in this shloka. Emphasis in the previous shloka was on the vyapti or all pervasiveness of Brahman, whereas here it is not all pervasiveness but it is all knowing. So Ishvara or the cause, that which seems to be the cause for us, because we see the effect, we need a cause. That cause which is a substratum, but it is a cause of, like, that is Ishvara or Parabrahman, that has mainly two powers. So Ishvara is mentioned in scriptures as well as in Advaita work by Advaita Acharyas as having two powers. One is all pervasiveness and second is all knowing. So omniscient as well as like omnipresent. So till the previous shloka it was speaking about the all pervasive power or quality of Brahman, whereas here it speaks about the all knowingness of the of Brahman, who is nothing but the Guru. Brahma with Brahmaiva Bhavati. A person who knows Brahman is the Guru. A person who knows Brahman is merely Brahman. Therefore the Guru is Brahman. So that is what is meant here. So if we prostrate at the feet of the Guru and follow the words of the Guru, then like since Shruti is, he knows everything, therefore he will guide us. He is the son of Vedanta who guides us. So he will guide us in order for us also to realize Brahman and make us as well as Brahman. Yeah, so the next shloka is Chaitanya Shashvata Shanto Vyomatito Niranjanah Bindunada Kalatita Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Chaitanya Shashvata Shanto. So Chaitanyam, like Brahman or the Guru that is meant here, the Guru to whom I prostrate, he is Chaitanyam. He is Chaitanyam. So he is of the nature of consciousness. Shashvatam, he is Shashvatam, he is like eternal. Shantam, he is peaceful. All these are characteristics of a Jivan Mukta or a person who is in one, who is one with Brahman, because Brahman alone is Chaitanyam. Chit can be traced only to Brahman, so anything that is with his Chit, that is Brahman. Anything that with is eternal is only Brahman. Anything that is peaceful, peace comes from satisfaction or contentment, which in turn comes from bliss. And Chaitanyam is blissful because Sachidanandam. So Chaitanyam is blissful, therefore that Chaitanyam of Brahman alone is Shantam. So that the Guru is having all these natures. So Guru is always filled with consciousness. He is Chaitanyam. Chaitanyam means like Chaitanyam is not only capable of giving oneself bliss, but it is capable of giving bliss to others as well. So when we go near the Guru, when we are in the presence of the Guru, presence of a person who is a Chaitanyam, then we will be able to experience bliss as well. That bliss pervades, that bliss like comes out. Abhito Brahma Nirvanam Vartate Viditatmanam. That is what Krishna says. As surrounding a person who is like knows the Atman, who knows the self as Brahman, bliss will be dancing. That means we can experience it. So the Guru is Chaitanyam. Guru is Shashvatam because he lives beyond time. Because he is one with Brahman. He is always Shantam. We can see Shanti. That is the reason why Ramana Maharshi used to tell that in the presence of a Mahatma, whether it is an animal or a man, still he'll become calm. Yes. So it's mentioned in the history of Ramana Maharshi that when he was in the Virupaksha cave in Trivannamalai, then a tiger used to come daily and sit outside the opening of the cave. So that like Patanjali himself speaks about that a person who is who ahimsa pratishtayam tat sannidau vairatyagah, a person who is established in ahimsa. Ahimsa means not like not hurting anybody, any being, through word, mind or deed. That is possible only when a person sees the Atman or the Brahman everywhere. That means he is a knower of Brahman. So for a person who is established in ahimsa, tat sannidau vairatyagah, in his presence, like all animals renounce their vairam, renounce their like kind of their state of anger or hatred. So even animals which are considered to be fierce become calm when they are in the presence of the Mahatma. So shanti is his very nature, of the nature of the Guru. If we, that's the reason why most of the people who seek Mahatmas are seeking Shanti. They seek peace. Because peace is there with the Mahatma or the Guru. Vyomatito Niranjanah. He is Vyomatito. It's like he is beyond space. His space is the only entity that we know. We can really compare with Brahman because Atmanah Akashah Sambhutam. That is what Taittiriya Upanishad says, that from the Atman came Akasham. So Akasham has lot of similarities with Brahman. Akasham is pure, ever pure. Akasham is all pervasive. Akasham doesn't have any merging or association with any entity. We can say I am in space, but still space has no relation with me. Space doesn't have a contact with me like I have contact with my laptop, I have contact with my friend. Such contact is impossible with Akasham. So like those characteristics of being pure, all-pervasive, having no contact are similar to Atman as well. So, but the Atman or Brahman is beyond Akasham also. The purest entity that we can see is Akasham. He is beyond the Akasham as well because he is the source of Akasham. So here the Guru is like mentioned as nothing but Brahman from which Akasham comes, and therefore he is beyond Vyoma. Niranjanam. Niranjanaha means like without any anjanam or without any impurity. So he is pure like the Akasham. Bindu Nada Kala Atita. He who is beyond Bindu, Nadam, Nada and Kala. So this terminology of Bindu Nada Kala is in the Shakta system or Tantra system, Tantrika system. So people who follow Devi, people who follow Shakta system or the Tantrika system, their philosophy is almost same as Vedantam, though there it has its own small differences. We'll not go into those differences, but they speak about these three terms of Bindu, Nada and Kala. As like we can these are people who follow Shakti, so Shakta system. So they like speak about Bindu, Nada and Kala, three like limitations we can call. It's like synonymous with like the mind, the intellect, body and all those things. I'm not very sure about what Bindu, Nada and Kala means, but Ramana Maharshi speaks about this in his talks. The talks with Ramana Maharshi does speak about it, and these are three like these words even come in Lalita Sahasranama. So if you get any translation of Lalita Sahasranama, any book explaining Lalita Sahasranama, you can understand this meaning. Though it only means that he is beyond all limitations, all things that we can find out. So the mind, the word, everything, he is beyond everything. To such a guru I offer my prostration. So that is this shloka. So the previous shloka and the other shloka spoke about the all-knowing nature and all-pervasive nature, and Shiva speaks about the Guru being beyond all limitations. He is beyond all limitations and he is pure, he is blissful, he is shantam, he is eternal. So the qualities of the Guru is being mentioned in this shloka. So the next shloka is Jnana Shakti Samaruda Tatvamala Vibhushitah Bhukti Mukti Pradata Cha Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. So Jnana Shakti Samaruda Tatvamala Vibhushitah. That Guru, he is wearing the Tatvamala, he is wearing the necklace of knowledge of Brahman. And Jnana Shakti, that is endowed with Jnana Shakti. Jnana Shakti here means like the power of knowledge, of being in knowledge or always immersed in knowledge as well as imparting knowledge as well. A person who is learned alone can impart. A person who is not learned cannot impart. That which I don't have, I cannot give to you. I can give to you only what I have. So the Guru is, he wears the necklace of Tattvam, of Jnanam, of Jnana Shakti. Thereby he imparts the Tattvam, he imparts knowledge of Brahman to us. And the scriptures as well as Like the Bhakti Shastra as well speak about Ishvara as giving two things mainly. So if we can categorize all our desires into two, one is related to bhukti. Bhukti means sensual pleasure or enjoyment or all worldly desires, and mukti means like spiritual desire. So bhukti means like enjoying things in the world at the empirical level. Mukti means getting realization of the ultimate reality of Brahman. So bhukti mukti pradatacha. Ishvara is mentioned in the scriptures as one who imparts us bhukti as well as mukti. So a person who Amma says always that a person who learns, who chants regularly the Lalitadasa Sahasranama, he will have everything in the world that he needs. The bare necessities will be satisfied. So Ishvara or the Guru here is considered to be one with Ishvara, who not only gives us mukti, but he will give us bhukti as well, whatever we need in the world until we realize. So until we realize, we would need certain things in the world in order to sustain in the world, in order to follow the spiritual path. That will also be provided by the Guru. So the Guru is none other than Ishvara, who gives us like bhukti as well as mukti. How can he give mukti? He can give mukti because he is wearing the Tattva Mala. And Tattvam is something which once a person knows, he'll be able to get anything and everything. Even empirical things is possible once a person realizes. So, since empirical things are also possible by the Guru, therefore, he gives people even bhukti, whatever they need. The next shloka is Anek Janma Samprata Karma Bandha Vidahine Atmajnana Pradhanena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So Aneka Janma Samprapta Karma Bandha Vidahine. That Guru, the Guru helps us in burning Karma Bandham, the bondage of Karma which we have accumulated in many births. Aneka Janma Samprapta, that which has been like since like our starting birth, like whenever we started birth, from then we have been accumulating karma. Because of ignorance we were born again and again and accrued karma, karma bandhan. Karma got converted to phalam, enjoyment of phalam, it became vasana. So the bandham, karma bandham, is totally removed by the Guru. How can karma bandham be removed? Karma bandham can be removed only by knowledge. So jnana agni sarva karmani basmasat kurute arjuna sarvam karma akilam partha jnane parisamapyate. In the fourth chapter of Gita, which is jnana karma sanyasa yogam, Krishna speaks about karma, the firewood of karma being burned by into ashes by the fire of knowledge. So knowledge, sarvam karma akilam partha jnane parisamapyate, all actions end in knowledge. So the Guru is a person who burns karma bandham. How can he burn karma bandham? Unless he gives us knowledge. Therefore, aneka janma samprapta karma bandha vidahine atma jnana pradanena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So he helps us in burning the karma bandham by atma jnana pradanena, by giving us atma jnanam. So the Guru gives us atma jnanam. Guru imparts us Atma Jnanam, which helps us in burning all the bondages. The bondages of karma is completely burnt. Karma is completely burnt by the knowledge of Atman, which the Guru imparts. So to such a Guru who imparts us knowledge, which helps in renouncing karma, to such a Guru I offer my prostration. So this shloka speaks about, like the previous shloka spoke about the Guru wearing the ornament of Tattvam, whereas having Jnana Shakti. And this shloka speaks about what is the Jnanam that Guru imparts us and what that Jnanam helps us to do. So the Jnanam, first thing Jnanam helps us to do is burn the all the bondages of karma and then give us realization. So that is what is meant in this shloka. The next shloka is Shoshanam bhava sindoshcha ज्ञापनं सारसम्पदः गुरोपादोदकं सम्यक् तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. So I offer my prostrations to the Guru. Guru Padodakam Samyak, a person who knowingly, completely surrenders to the Guru Paduka, such a person, like when the previous shloka spoke, that the karma bandham will be completely removed by the Guru who imparts his knowledge. And this shloka explains it a bit more, like as to what, how bandham, or kind of explaining the same thing in a different way, saying that Shoshanam bhava sindosha. So Shoshanam bhava sindoho. Bhava sindoho, the bhava sagaram is completely dried up. When a person prostrates himself at the Guru's feet, he understands the Guru's feet, mahima of Guru's feet, and the knowledge that Guru imparts, that dries up the ocean of samsara. So Shoshanam bhava sindosha. Jnapanam sara sampadaha, and knowing everything. So the saram, essence of everything that we know. So the Upanishads does like go a highly logical way, saying that the shishya in Shaunaka in the Mundaka Upanishad asks sage Angiras as to like, Kasminnu bhagavo vijnate sarvamidam vijnatam bhavati. O Guru, O Lord, teach me that by knowing which everything becomes known. Eka vijnane ena sarva vijnanam. So by knowing one thing, everything will be known. Tell me that. So that is explained as Brahman. So Brahman is that by knowing which everything becomes known. That means Brahman is the essence of everything. So the Guru's, for a person who prostrates, surrenders himself at the Guru's feet, the Bhavasagaram will be dried up, as well as such a person will know the essence of all knowledge, which is knowledge of Brahman. Yeah, so Shoshanam Bhava Sindosha Jnapanam Sarasampataha. So the Guru imparts us knowledge which helps in drying up the ocean of samsara, and as well as which gives us knowledge, the essence of all knowledge. That is where the Shastra starts by telling that it is like this, the Brahman is that by knowing which everything is known. So that means it is the essence of all knowledge. So such a knowledge is being imparted by the Guru. And how is it imparted? It is imparted for a person who prostrates at the Guru's feet, who understands the importance of Guru's feet, and who totally commits himself to it. For such a person, Bhavasagaram will vanish, as well as Jnanam will be there. So Bhavasagaram vanishing is another way of telling that Karma Bandham will be completely burnt up. We have three more shlokas. So the last three shlokas, which are kind of important or emphasizes the Guru's, the importance of the Guru. So till now, like it was like saying about the nature, the quality of the or the truth that the Guru stands for about Brahman, as well as the knowledge that the Guru imparts, what it does, what is the Guru capable of, what is the nature of Guru, where the Guru stands, and like what is the knowledge that he imparts, what he imparts, and it's the knowledge that he imparts, and then like what do we get out of it. Now, like the last three shlokas speak about the importance of a Guru, the emphasis of a Guru. So, it's like following the Upanishad statement that Acharyavan Purusho Veda. A person who has an Acharya, who has a Guru, alone knows the reality. There are only like few exceptional cases like Ramana Maharshi, who can succeed without the Guru. And there are like, of course, people who have Guru but don't learn directly from the Guru. There are few cases like my father hasn't learned from Amma or Sai Baba, but still he knows, so he is learned. So such people are very rare, that such kind of vasana comes very rarely. My father was like that, but my sister is currently learning under like Tejomi Ananda, so she is having a Guru. So though like exceptional cases are there, it is very really highly exceptional that a person can learn without a guru, or like he cannot learn without learn the scriptures without a guru as well. So knowing Brahman, a person might have a guru and he might not learn from the guru, but without such a learning, it is ideally not possible for a person to realize Brahman. So realizing Brahman, a person requires a guru. And though the scriptures say about Acharya, it is not, Acharya and guru are not quite different. It is just that Acharya has a different implication of different meaning. We won't go into that. So the last three shlokas speak about the importance or emphasis of a guru, that a person has to compulsorily have a guru. So the first of those three shlokas is Na guru radikam bhavam Na guru radikam tapah Tattvajnanat param nasti Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. So, Na Guror Adhikam Bhavam, Na Guror Adhikam Tapaha. So, Na Guror Adhikam Bhavam, there is no higher Bhavam than a Guru. So, there is a different reading, I forgot the different reading, but the reading that I have learnt is Na Guror Adhikam Bhavam, there is no higher Bhavam than a Guru. Bhavam means that it's a notion, it's an object of contemplation or meditation. So, there is no higher object of meditation than a guru. There is no higher object of contemplation. There is no higher object of worship than a guru. Because, like, only through the guru we can learn, know about Brahman, we can realize our own nature. Without a guru, it is impossible. So, there is no higher bhavam than the guru. Na guror adhikam tapaha. If a person has to do tapas, like, hundreds of years of Lalita Sahasranama chanting is equivalent to being with the Guru for 1 year. So the Guru is the highest austerity that a person can do. Service to the Guru, tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashneena seveya. The three things of doing service to the Guru, offering oneself at his feet and questioning him with the right questions about moksha, about Brahman, that is the highest austerity. There is no other austerity than being of service to the Guru, being of real service to the Guru. So there is no higher object than Guru, there is no higher tapas than Guru. Tattvajnanat param nasti, there is no higher knowledge than tattvajnanam. So tattvajnanam is knowledge about the reality of that which really exists, means no knowledge of Brahman. So there is no higher knowledge than knowledge of Brahman. Anything that we learn other than Brahman is mithya. So it will never really serve us. That's the reason why whenever we learn any scripture, whatever work we learn, we should remember, always remember the import being Brahman. The object, real object being Brahman, because there is no greater knowledge than knowledge of Brahman, because everything else is an illusion and will not give us happiness. And the Guru is all the more important because Brahman can be known only from the Guru. Tattvajnanam is the highest knowledge, highest thing that a person can learn, and that can be learned only from the Guru. Tasmat, to such a Guru I offer my prostration. So the Guru is very important because there is no higher bhavam than Guru. Bhavam for sadhana, there is no highest tapas or again sadhana than the Guru, because only through this tapas will take us directly to Brahman, rather than it won't take much time. And there is no higher knowledge than tattvajnanam, and since tattvajnanam is imparted only by the Guru, therefore the Guru is highly important. So to such a Guru I offer my prostration. The next shloka is Mannatha Sri Jagannatha Madguru Sri Jagadguru Madatma Sarva Bhutatma Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama. So Mannatha Sri Jagannatha, my Natha, my like object of meditation, my Lord is Jagannathan. He is the Lord of the entire world, means he is Brahman. Madguru Sri Jagadguru, my Guru is the Guru of the world. Madatma Sarvabhutatma, my Atma is The Atma of everything. So I am the essence of everything. This knowledge is being got from the Guru. To such a Guru, I offer my prostrations. The importance of the Guru is the Guru makes us realize that the Lord that I worship, the Lord that I love, that Lord is Jagannathan. That is the Lord of the entire world. He is the Lord of the dual world itself. And my Guru, the Guru that I really worship, is none other than a manifestation of Brahman. Therefore, such a Guru is Jagat Guru, Guru for the entire world. And myself, my Atma is the Atma of everything. Because my Atma is Brahman, and all everybody have for their Atman nothing else but Brahman. Therefore, myself is all the self. This knowledge is being imparted by the Guru. So the importance of the Guru is that such great knowledge, such great vision, real vision of life, real knowledge of life that can take us out of our miseries. Miseries arising from the duality, dual notions, considering duality as real, and thereby giving us bliss is possible only through the Guru. So the Guru is the person who makes us realize that myself is all the self. So that is the final culmination. So the first step could be, we can say that Mannatha Sri Jagannatha. My Natha is Jagannatha. That is like object of worship. So worshipping or sadhana, and sadhana takes a higher stage, becomes better or more strong when a person seeks a guru. That means it is not just mere sadhana, but jnana sadhana. That is when a person realizes that my guru is Jagat Guru. And once a person gets follows jnana, gets jnana, does jnana sadhana, then he realizes that myself is all self. So that is the three stages, we can say, or steps in the spiritual path, which is taken through, which is made accessible and made, what to say, a person is made to realize it with the help of the Guru. To such a Guru, I offer my prostration. So that is the emphasis of the Guru again here. So we come to the last shloka. It is the peak of mentioning of the emphasis of the Guru. Guru Radir Anadishcha Guru Paramadevatam Guru Parataram Nasti Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Guru Radir Anadishcha. The Guru is Adi. Guru is Adi because he is the beginning. As I said, the causation theory, if we see, Brahman is the starting of everything. So that is the Adi Purusha, he is called, like we learned in the Gita 15th chapter. So he is the Adi Purusha who is not at all born. So the Guru is Adi. And Guru is Anadi as well. Anadi means Guru doesn't have any beginning. Guru is the beginning person if we consider that the effect of world is there. That means Guru is the starting, therefore he is Adi. But the Guru himself doesn't have any beginning because he is ever present, therefore Guru is Anadi. So the Guru is Adi as well as Anadi. It's very easy to understand, but Adi means from the with the perspective of the creation. Creation being existing, a person is accepting creation at the empirical level. Guru is Adi, he is the beginning of all creation, he is the substratum or the cause. But the Guru is Anadi because himself he is unborn, he is ever present. So Guru Radir Anadishcha Guru Paramadevatam. Guru is the highest Deva, he is the highest being of divine nature. Because he is of divine nature, because he is nothing but Brahman, the highest divine entity that we can mention. Divinity is not just a quality of the mind or the body, but divinity has to do with realization. Because divinity is to do with light, light illumining from a person. Light illumining is nothing but bliss illumining or bliss spreading out. Peace spreading out. So such a thing is possible only from the Guru, who is a manifestation of Brahman. So the Guru is the highest divine being because he is in par with Brahman, and bliss and peace emanate from the Guru. So Guru Paramadevatam, he is the highest divine being. Guru Parataram Nasti, there is nothing higher than a Guru. Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha, I offer my prostrations to the Guru. So there is nothing, the final statement of the Guru Gita, we can say the shlokas is that Guru Parataram Nasti, there is nothing higher than the Guru. If a person thinks that he has something higher than the Guru, he thinks like he has got book, he has got knowledge, and therefore he is higher than the Guru, then he is wrong. At the empirical level, any person can never override the Guru. Even if a person realizes, but still that realization will make him acknowledge as well as again and again offer himself at the Guru's feet for imparting such a knowledge. So ultimately, though everything after realization, everything is Brahman, but still empirically that person who gave him the knowledge is always supreme. There is nothing superior than the Guru. So till a person realizes there is nothing other than a Guru, he just needs to follow the Guru, he just needs to heed to the Guru's words, Guru's instruction, and after realization as well at the empirical level, he will still be indebted to the Guru for imparting knowledge. So there is nothing greater than the Guru. Amma also says that if God is angry with a person, then the Guru can protect the person, because the Guru is like powerful. Guru is at the state of Brahman or God himself, therefore the Guru higher than the God himself. So Guru can protect a person who has angered God. But if a person angers the Guru, so if Guru is angry with a person, then even God cannot help the person. So the Guru is the starting and the ending for a person. So if a person does Guru Ninda, the Guru, if a real Guru who is established in Brahman will never be angry with a person. But still, if a person does Guru Ninda, then that is the highest sin that a person can do. And the loser is none other than the person, because he will not be able to realize. Because without the Guru, realization is not at all possible. So with this, the Guru Gita comes to an end with the statement that Guru Parataram Nasti, there is nothing higher or greater than the Guru. So the Guru Gita serves as a means of devotion and getting like Guru Bhakti, which is very essential. As we learned in the Guru Gita itself, we can understand the emphasis or the importance of the Guru in the life of a spiritual seeker. So if a person daily chants the Guru Gita, then he'll always be indebted to the Guru. So this also serves as a means of contemplation of the ultimate reality of Brahman, as well as importance of the Guru, so that we can get knowledge from the Guru.